Rise and Climb with Anna. I'm just someone who really, really, really loves stories. And I'm going to do the best I can to become as good as I can to share stories that help me not only overcome, but hopefully inspire you to overcome the hardest challenges life throws at you.
All right, everybody. We are really excited to get this podcast out. Not only because do we think we have the audio figured out a little better, but because this was such a fun and ridiculous topic to cover. Today's episode is called Love, Life, and Libido. And how it came about was when a long time ago I did a health talk with a friend on this. And so the other day, Michael, when we were recording a different podcast, he goes, "What are we going to record on? Love, Life, and Libido?" And we just laughed and joked about it. And then I said, "Well, why wouldn't we record a podcast about love, life, and libido?" And really the heart of this is because sex and intimacy in marriages is something that a lot of people struggle with. And Michael and I have had our own story of struggling with this in our own in different ways. And so this is an opportunity to kind of share our journey with it, but then also share what we've learned. And just hope that you join in on the ridiculous conversation that this topic has brought forth. So enjoy. All right, so before we do really head into the conversation today, I do want to take this time to bring you the sponsorship for today's ad. This actually comes from some tried and tested products that I have either experienced firsthand or know people who can give their testimonies. And I'm going to put a little package together. It's 15% off, the coupon code 15OFF, MA. And you follow the link in the show notes and it will say, share some of my top products that I like, between helping men with their performance to a product that helps men and women, so you get one and the man and woman can take, and then to some other products that just really address the stress in people's life that really plummets the sex drive. So I'm going to put those in the link, and if you have any questions, you can reach out. Nothing is TMI. Well, I take that back, but probably not TMI. The only other caveat is there is a product in there. If blood flow is the problem for the man, that means that there is a heart issue. So please do not run to over-the-counter medications that will mask a heart issue. You're going to want a product that really actually gets the blood pumping from head to toe, both heads, if you know what I mean. That product is called OPC3. It tastes a little bit like a tart wine. And if you're having problem with blood flow down there, you're having a problem with blood flow everywhere. I should be a marketer. Anyways, there will be a link that brings you to a package called Love, Life, and Libido. 15% off MA on any of the products that you want to try on there. Enjoy the show. All right. This is our volume good, honey? Check.
Yeah, we're live, babe. I think as long as just check your I'm going to just turn you up a little bit because everyone knows I got to turn you up.
Because that is the segue for love, life, and libido.
Correct.
Turn me up.
Which is the
topic of today. We joked about it, but we're kind of, I actually really love talking about love, life, and libido.
Yes, you do.
We really do think we have our microphones figured out, but we would love feedback. Hopefully not too much feedback, if you know what I mean.
Oh, pipping.
So if this isn't working on your device, let us know. We really are trying to figure out everything.
Yeah, we're trying to get it so that you don't have to have the volume cranked to listen to it. So
yes,
I think we're close. Mm-hmm. And after my wife yelling at me and accusing me of doing the things wrong, I think it was a software glitch. I think we're there.
Let's just admit it. We both messed up a little.
Sure.
So I did mess up as well. I wouldn't say Michael messed up. I would just say it just is a learning curve. Okay.
Agreed. I think we're there.
Love, life, and libido. Why is this important to talk about, honey bunny?
Well, I mean, if you want me to actually get serious, love, life, and libido is important. I think a lot of couples can struggle in this area. Some couples we know struggle in this area a lot. And it is important because I think it involves more than just physical intimacy. So
yeah, I'm worried you're not talking loud enough. No,
you. I'm right in the microphone.
Okay.
If this is wrong, then
you're right. I think you're fine. I think you're
just
good.
Just look at how big. Look at how big my lines are, honey.
I'm looking how big you are. You're looking big enough. Anyways, okay. So yes, agreed. And I think this is important to talk about. Because I really do believe God created sex for to be a beautiful thing. It doesn't have to be pleasurable. It's very, what's the word? Very practical for reproduction, but it's also very pleasurable. And not just sex, but intimacy is wonderful. Mm-hmm. And so I think there's something really special about it. And I heard this one saying once that Satan's goal is to give you, and the backdrop of Satan is the battle of good and evil. You know, there's something that wants to come and steal, kill, and destroy. And the enemy, Satan, saying that his goal is to get you to have as much sex before you're married and as little sex after you're married. And I mean, we both have our own testimonies of how we fell into that trap, and you more so than me.
You're such an angel.
But I will say that I agree, because then I see couples struggle with that, which I think that should we should start off with the whole purity culture.
Might as well start at the beginning.
Yes. And I wanted to talk about the pros. So purity culture, what do you think when I say purity culture, honey bunny?
Well, in a broad sense, I believe it's the idea of saving yourself for marriage, right? Being pure for marriage for your spouse, you know, mm-hmm. Virgins is the goal.
Yes.
And then purity culture can have different connotations, and maybe you can go into that a little bit more. Yeah. So,
and I mean, we could do a whole episode on purity culture and virginity, and just because, you know, you didn't go all the way doesn't mean you're
pure. You're,
you know, you haven't, you're, yeah, all that. But for the sake of it, I would say growing up, it's just this idea that purity and saving yourself for marriage is the be all end all and the holy grail and the most important thing. And while we do believe that it is best to not engage in sexual activity outside of marriage, because we do believe it's created for marriage, there's a lot of harmful, hard, sad things that happen when it's outside of marriage. It also can be dangerous when that's all you focus on. And go ahead.
Yeah, and I think from, I guess, a caveat or an aspect of that, I should say, would be the purity culture can actually create even the conversation of sex as being taboo. And that's mm-hmm. that's really the danger of it, because children who grow up in that style purity culture really have no idea even about sex. It's kind of a mystery. And then it creates almost more desire to know what it's like and why it's such a danger or, you know, whatever it may be, instead of having more openness about sex, sexuality, and allowing that your kids to actually have conversations about that.
And talk about setting yourself up for unrealistic expectations post-marriage. You know, because it's just such a big thing, and then all of a sudden you can have it, and you don't know how to handle it. And what I found, I've been hurt by people making such a big deal about it, that if you have had sex, you feel like this scarlet person. Like, how could you? And for me, it was like, I mean, I wasn't necessarily proud that I had sex before marriage, but once I realized, for me, and I think a lot of women, is you just desire to be desired and held. And it really wasn't even about the sex. It was about the intimacy that it would create, and hoping that it would create this intimacy. And then oftentimes those settings don't. So once I realized that and really brought that to the Lord, for me, it was like, gosh, it wasn't even about the sex. And I dealt with that with the Lord and gave it to the Lord and felt really forgiven. And then to feel unforgiven by this other human was hard for me, because I'm like, I think you're taking this too personal. Like, I did not.
I didn't have you in mind at the time, which.
Trust me.
And we laugh, but that is one of the reasons why it's important to pursue that purity before,
yes,
before
it
marriage.
Because it is hurtful.
It shows, you know, you're making that connection with just this person, that special connection.
Yeah.
And so I guess that's on the flip side. But the other side is, if one person isn't, I really think they got to stop thinking about themselves there. It's yes, not about them.
Which is fine. And everybody's allowed to go through that
to grieve, yep,
journey. Yep. So I'm not taking that away. I'm just saying, definitely saying from my viewpoint. And then the other thing is, I find that people can idolize purity. Oh, purity, it becomes a god over God, the creator. And instead of worshiping God as the creator and as the giver of that gift, they worship the gift of purity. And that just sets their spouse up for failure, I would say, because of the expectations. Because purity was the be-all, end-all, instead of the desire to intimately know the Lord in a healthy way that he can satisfy the desires of your heart. When you know him closely, that whether you have a thriving sex life or not, you're content with all things, you know, in thriving sex life within marriage. And then so you miss out on that relationship with the Lord, and you go into it with a closer relationship with this sexual, these fantasies one way or another. And you're then all the little gods in our life crumble at some point and reveal the crack. So what do you think?
No, I think what you're kind of hitting at is the legalism versus the heart, mm-hmm, of the law, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And if all that matters is the law, you're missing the heart. Mm-hmm. And then no matter what it is, it's going to be a failure. So
mm-hmm, you can still not please the Lord and be a virgin and still be sinning. You know,
correct.
In some ways,
it's not the only way to sin.
Yeah.
So.
So I think that would be, without going, our whole podcast is not about purity culture, but I wanted to start off with that. And then I wanted to jump to another question that I have written at the end. But okay, what was a lie that you believed about sex in two stages of your life? One, when you're a douchebag. Stage, when you were acting like a douchebag in that stage, what do you think is the big lie that got you into that stage of really messing up in that area? And then once you became a Christian and before marriage, when you're at a good spot, what do you think was an unrealistic expectation or a lie you believed?
You did not prep me with this question, so
I know,
feel a little taken off.
Best
take it back. I'm just kidding.
I don't take it off, honey.
Dear Lord, help us. So regarding one douchebag comment, I would say the major lie I believed was that it's hard to say, because at the time, did I really even know? No. So at the time, did I even know it was a lie?
No, you didn't.
So I guess, 'cause only looking back, I would see that I was seeking for intimacy and acceptance ultimately,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
and for somebody to accept you. And that was a form of acceptance. And mm-hmm, it kind of is a form of acceptance, a distorted form of acceptance. But
yeah,
so I would say that was kind of the lie I believed, was that sex brought some kind of acceptance and filled some hole I needed, so to speak. So.
Sure. Then I'll jump on that. I really remember reading like 17 magazines and stuff and talk about how you're influenced without knowing. And I really did believe that you had to have sex with multiple people in order to know what good sex was like. So I just really distinctly remember that being a goal of, having sex with more than one person. Because I need it to. I had to. That was a huge lie. I just believed. I didn't challenge it at all.
It's so funny, given that now we are both Christians and we would take the Bible's advice on those. But just at the time as a teenager, yeah. What advice you're willing to listen to.
Yeah.
You know, it's a horrible advice. But
so, okay, which actually I want to go back because we didn't talk about the pros of purity.
Just bashed.
Yeah.
We did that. We had a couple pros. But yeah.
So you say what your biggest pro and why we want our kids to have a healthy view of sex in their life.
I think the biggest pro is self-control, but it also breeds trust and allows you to see the value in somebody else besides mm-hmm. how they make you feel. Mm-hmm. It allows you to really pursue their value as a person and mm-hmm. enjoying them and in delighting in their personality and their mm-hmm. relationship and really pursuing and developing the other kinds of intimacy, which are as important or mm-hmm. if not more important than sexual intimacy. So that's the pro, yeah. which is it's a larger pro than a con of purity, but that's purity in general, not yes. just purity. Purity culture in general, I feel, has a negative connotation mm-hmm. because of it. In general, when you say purity culture, it means not necessarily the biblical view of purity. It's the distorted way that we have tried and used, basically had a bunch of fear associated with it.
Yeah.
And needed and used that to develop this culture to try to keep our kids pure.
Yeah.
And that's
the spirit of fear
versus the beauty of purity yep. and what it's for is can't be overstated.
Yeah, absolutely. No, that's I'm glad that you said that. That's a really good point. And I would say as a woman's viewpoint, this is not always the case, but probably let's say 90% of relationships, women end up feeling used for sex. Not always. I think sometimes men can feel used for just getting the woman pregnant, like they think you just want me and I don't want to be used like that. Do you love me or do you just love being pregnant and having kids, being a mom and all that? And so that's, I think that can be common, but typically things change. Pursual for certain things stops once intimacy is achieved, or not even intimacy, sexual acts are achieved. And so women can often feel used, and then it's like, well, do you even love me? I don't even want to have sex. And again, this is not always the case. It can be flip side. But with that being said, I think when you have it outside of marriage, then women can act like they don't care. But deep down, I think if you really ask them, they would be like, but do you really love me? Do you still desire me, or do you just desire what you get from me? And I think that can transcribe into marriage, but I think it's really prone to it outside of marriage and that. So,
so how does that relate to the purity culture thing? You want to make the connection?
Oh, thank you. The pro is that you have the skills that's off the table. They're not using you for sex. You don't have the distraction of that. You are getting to know them, building those skills, and you have those muscles in the relationship that even if you struggle, you can go back and tap into that and be like, well, this was what it was like when we were just getting to know each other and sexual intimacy wasn't what we were achieving in a day. So I don't know. That's mm-hmm. another thing.
No. Yeah. I just wanted to make sure you made the connection so that people weren't thinking you're a little bit off track.
Off track, never, not. Because
I was like, where is she going with this?
You are such a good co-host.
I feel like I'm interviewing you.
I know, I like it. So I think that's the pro of that and the skills and getting to know. And then I think it doesn't have to be said, but like anything could happen where sexual intimacy or the act sexuality just cannot be the main driver of the relationship. I mean,
you better desire your spouse
for other things,
for other reasons, yes, than just sex, because if Otherwise, you realize that your wife's going to get old, right? I mean, things aren't going to look the same.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
As you age, and by the way, look in the mirror. You're not going to look great either.
Yeah.
But there needs to be a depth to the relationship that needs to be developed. And I think what you're saying is that by using purity at the start of the relationship, you're setting a foundation mm-hmm. to build upon mm-hmm. through your marriage.
Yes. So. And it can always be redeemed. You can always go back.
His mercies are new every day, as my dad likes to say. Yeah. So.
But you can always go back. But that's not how it was created. There's hurt there. There definitely is this idea that how God created it to be. What was that? Now, with that being said, that actually segues into the lie that I believed, even as a Christian, and a very mature one.
So mature.
But it wasn't like just like my first year of Christianity. I mean, it was probably Christian for 10 years. And I would say I believed, because it's probably more influenced by the world, that the best sex you'll have is when you're young or right away in the marriage. And if you got to capitalize and jump on that train, because if you don't, you miss it and it's all gone. And so that set me up for unrealistic expectations that they created the culture being so hard our first 2 years. My biggest lament was just that our sex life wasn't what it was supposed to be, because I had this idea in my head of what it should be.
And yeah, so that is so funny, because that was probably the biggest stressor in our marriage for the first 2 years.
Hands down.
And I think I've shared this before to some extent, but I was under a lot of stress at work, feeling inadequate, not knowing anything, and physically demanding, mm-hmm. mentally exhausted. And I get home and Anna's like, aren't we going to have sex tonight? And
I'm
like,
are you going to pursue me? Are we going to
have
sex capade? What is
I'm like, I haven't thought about sex for 2 weeks. And now, it was such a different.
We were totally different places.
Totally different places. And I was like, Anna, I'm just not. Things won't always be like this. This is the stage of my life.
Yeah.
And if anything, it was just that reminder that seasons, you do go through seasons.
And that also, I mean, maybe I had more than just one lie that I believed. All you ever hear is that men think about sex all the time. And then I married a guy who didn't. And so it was really learning that, and that you weren't withholding something from me. So I do think there is something. And backdrop is, if you haven't caught up on our podcast or story, Michael and I dated while he was in prison for a sex offense. So I thought I was marrying a sex offender. Joke's on me.
I mean, not to laugh about the situation, but
No.
It's your view is just hilarious. But.
You know, yes, go back, listen to his story. We don't think what he did was funny, but our story and how God redeemed it, I did not think that my husband, who was in prison for sexual acts, our issue would be that we didn't have sex as much as I would like.
The Lord works in mysterious ways.
So that was really hard on me. And it honestly probably 2 years that we had to work through that. So to go in that, and what I learned and how we got through that was, one was time. Just two, I talked about it a lot. I really am a verbal processor. And I remember meeting with a woman and just her sharing her stories probably set the foundation of how powerful stories are. And that she and her husband had a completely different hardship, and how she chose to love her husband even though he wasn't willing to change how she wanted him to. And then that, on top of reading a chapter, maybe even 3 pages in a book, The Meaning of Marriage. And like, I opened it up to the chapter of, so you married a sinner. And I remember thinking, am I going to divorce him? And I'm like, no, I'm not. And so I got to figure out how to love him, even if he's not perfect or the way I want him to be, which isn't ideal. So just those things. And I think just radical acceptance of the fact that of what it is. And then I had a clarity moment. Said, oh my gosh, what if he actually wanted to have sex every night? That would suck. Because I mean, I might want it a little more. And it wasn't like we were going months, but or like even a month. It was like, sure, maybe like one more time. But God, that would suck if he was expecting it from me and I had nothing to give. And I was like, be careful what you wish for. And I actually was like, oh, is that, you know what? It's good. It's good. And so I think just sometimes thinking about what it would mean to get what you want is, and then like
enough actually, to realize you don't really want it.
Yeah. You think, sometimes I thank God for unanswered prayers. So I, really, when I look back, the heart of it was, do you even love me? If you love me, you would do this for me. I told you it's so important, and you still don't change for me, and you know how to do this for other things. Like, those were, that was the hurt.
I remember.
Oh, my God. It was really intense.
There was a lot of, you love your studies or your you books more than me.
Wish you were back in prison.
Yes, there was some of accusations flying around.
So actually that brings us to then how we get out of our cycle of, you said this in the pre-show, of when I say you get so attracted, you're so turned on, you're only turned on when I'm mad, so that's why I have to get mad. And you said, contrary to belief.
Yeah, it's not you being mad that turns me on. It's after 5 days, I start to joke around with you and break the ice a little bit, but so that we're not on these eggshells for any longer. And then I'm trying to flirt with her a little bit to break the ice, and then she thinks I'm just attracted to her because she's mad at me. So,
yeah. So that was so we've learned that. I've learned that because I also can learn to see clearly in the mirror how unattractive I am at those times, and so I get it. I'm not fooled into thinking you're attracted to me when I'm like a porcupine. So I would say those are some things and lies that I believed about sex right before marriage. Anything that you want to say that?
No, I honestly probably had more of a realistic picture.
At this time,
because by then it was like I knew that sex wasn't all it cracked up to be.
Yeah.
In the end, you're still empty.
Yeah.
It wasn't fulfilling. Mm-hmm. So I was seeking God for that peace and contentment and not you to fill that role or that role of intimacy. And I just wanted to talk to you sometimes. And so, and I like flirting with you. And to this day, I really enjoy flirting with you. And just because I'm flirting doesn't mean that I actually want to have sex.
Yeah.
It's fun, you know, and we talked a little bit about this in our pre-show, which was us talking over
what we're going to talk
eating
about,
a snack,
and then what we're not going to talk about.
But this, I totally lost my train of thought when I was coughing, but.
So you were saying how we, you were saying how what we were talking about was flirting.
Oh, yeah, and something that you asked and what brought that conversation up was what turns on a guy and what turns me on is there's a lot of things. It's them belly shirts. So I told her I was going to bring that up because I always joked around because in her high school photos, she was she's wearing like a minor belly shirt, maybe like 1 inch reveal or something.
Not 1 inch, it's like 2 centimeters.
Yeah, lies. Wait, did you, it's 2.5. 2.5 centimeters is an inch.
Well, see?
Sorry. 2.5, I can forget what the exact.
See, under an inch.
So it's just kind of funny. But regardless, so I used to tease her about it, and then when she was breastfeeding baby, she got like these half shirts after Eleazar, and she looks good enough. I mean, so she, because she's sprung back very well after her pregnancy.
I cannot believe we're going into this.
Anyways, that being said, that was like, what turns me on is belly shirts and flirting or whatever, whatever I said. Obviously a joke, but.
And I think what's important to that is there's everybody has just certain things about their spouse that they will find attractive and that's unique to them. And that I think it's good to know that and honor that. And this is what I'm not even embarrassed talking about this stuff because we should be talking about this. Healthy, not just healthy marriages, but marriages. This is where it's permissible. And unfortunately, we save all this stuff for outside of marriage when it's this is what should be inside of marriage. The flirting, flirting can be also before you're married. But like these sort of things is what should be marriage about. And that's why we wanted to talk about it.
Yeah.
And that it's not a bad thing. And that couples will, it's a spectrum. Some couples will be a little more and some couples are a little less of this stuff, but you will find something to your degree that's comfortable that you both know. And what I said, it was like knowing what you like, I like feeding that in a healthy way. The opposite of I'm going to withhold that from you.
Yeah.
That wouldn't be good.
No, so, and for sure. And I think the one thing we talked about being interesting with the flirting thing is how often do you go to a workplace or an environment or a hostess somewhere who's extremely friendly, fun, goofy. I'm not even going to say flirting, but mm-hmm. just has that aura of inviting and fun to mm-hmm. be around. And then that person can be that way in the group. And then when she's at home, her husband comes in. She complains, says you all your failures and everything else. And then they wonder why their sex life isn't great.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, there's a time that you need to obviously address them issues in your marriage. Mm-hmm. But there is a time where you need to flirt. You need to have fun together. You need mm-hmm. to pursue each other in that ways and show the other person that I like you. Like mm-hmm. I liked joking around with you, I like having fun with you, because there's a reason you got married. Mm-hmm. And before you got married, you liked them things about your spouse.
Mm-hmm.
So it, and I get like if you've been stuck, and I mean God's totally blessed us because we were pure to each other before mm-hmm. marriage, which was a long process, like 4 years.
Yeah, we're supposed to say they had to lock you up to keep you off me.
But excuse me, I'm off track.
Yeah. So, but showing that you like, so flirting is important and to the relationship and saving. And I would say one of our strengths, we have weaknesses. I have more. This is a good example. We laugh at each other. We just learn. Okay, one of the things that recently has helped us is you will do something that irritates the bejeezies out of me, and I will look at you and mean like, why would you do that? And you just go, because I suck. And then we laugh. Because you point out exactly what I'm thinking, and I'm like, exactly. So knock it off.
There's not a whole lot you can say back to that.
No, but we embrace it instead of getting stuck there. I think that takes a huge level, you know. And I even do that. Like sometimes it helps me, whether it's with you or with the kids. It's like, why are you doing this? Like, because I'm emotionally unstable. That's why. And just kind of calling the situation for what it is. And laughing at yourself, you're not taking yourself too seriously. It goes a really long way, and that can fall under the category of flirty. And then you say to the kid, oh, your mother, you know, and stuff. And so I just think that is one of our strengths, is just laughing with and at each other and ourselves first and foremost.
Yeah.
So that was one of the things you wanted to say. Then one of the questions
in the hot seat here.
Then, so What do you think about the saying men think about sex all the time?
Well, we briefly brought this up. Yeah. And we've brought this up in previous podcasts, I'm sure. They all kind of blend, though. So that's simply not true. From my, at least I am a man, and I do not think about sex very much.
That's true.
I can go, honestly, days without thinking about sex.
That's very true, folks.
The only thing that's helped is these belly shirts.
You find what they like.
Because visually, then I notice you more. Mm-hmm. But honestly, I am a very focused person at work and very dedicated towards a task. Mm-hmm. And I will focus on it and I'll give it my all. And I pursue that. I have a ton of other hobbies and interests that are in my head that I can't pursue a lot of times that I think about.
If you have time, you're on Craigslist.
Or I'm just, that's kind of my go-to when I don't have time to read a book mm-hmm. or pursue something I'm going to. I have like 10 minutes to myself and I can zone out a little bit.
And missed connections. Do they still have that?
Not quite what I was going for. I'm on farm and garden and heavy equipment.
Yes,
so.
Trust me. That is what he's looking up. Yes. Now, with that being said, are there some men out there who think of it much more often? Yes. Are there some women who think of it much more often? But something that I want to point out is it's almost like the sex can be this unique thing where it's like, all you think about is sex all the time. You know, I say that in a voice because that's a lot of times the feeling, the sentiment behind it. But on the flip side,
you sounded very nagging when you said that.
That's because that is the sentiment. Because women are hurt because they don't feel pursued in other ways.
Correct.
Right.
Correct. Okay. Yep.
So we're not making fun of that. But women or husbands, if that's what you're saying, on the flip side, you know, that's all they think about is being intimate in non-sexual ways all the time. They just want to be pursued. They just want me to clean the house all the time. You know, it's just like what you're saying about one thing can be true about what you desire them to do more than they are doing. So it's just a good check.
Yeah, for sure. That's a good point.
For people. And so I would say that brings me to talking about the role of intimacy in a marriage that doesn't involve sexual activity. Mm-hmm. Go on, honey.
Very intriguing.
What do you want to say about intimacy and pursuit?
No, I think as a man who, you know, sex is for most men, right? Like, we see that as intimacy. Mm-hmm. The reality is, sometimes I desire to just be with you and hang out more than sex. Mm-hmm. And I know maybe I'm weird in that. Maybe God's given me that. I don't know what that is. But sometimes I don't want to have sex. And I would rather just us chill. And part of it is probably because the age of our kids or whatever, you know, so sometimes it's just nice to be able to sit down and to talk and like this is our anniversary weekend. We're doing mm-hmm. this podcast, which I love, honey, mm-hmm. but some of the most fun we do is just hanging out together again and
riding in the car,
remembering what talking. It's like to not have kids that we have to take care of every second of the day and pursuing again, you know, that dating atmosphere of joking around and just delighting in one another. And that I love, I would say, more than sexual intimacy because it actually builds our marriage too, you know. So that being said, non-sexual forms of intimacy are extremely important, but also it's like that's really what holds your marriage together. Is the other forms of intimacy. Mm-hmm. And I think that's why the women are desiring it, right? They want that. Mm-hmm. They want the heart. They want to be able to share. But it's so just doing things and laughing together is part of it. That's form of intimacy. I would say other forms of intimacy would be being able to really share your dreams, Mm-hmm. And the other person just listens or doesn't mm-hmm. criticize or whatever. Having a mutual dream together that you can talk about mm-hmm. and letting the other person kind of change the look of that dream a little bit based on their input mm-hmm. and then doing it together. All them things, they build intimacy in another way where you feel connected. And that's like really like
soul and spiritual yeah. intimacy.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
Yeah, I think it's a mask of intimacy is the sexuality.
The sexual the physical act is, yes, it's definitely a form of being connected, but yeah. it's, but if you don't have the others, it does. And I get why a lot of women, if they don't have that in their marriage, may almost never want sex because mm-hmm. they feel like it's a sham of intimacy. Mm-hmm. So
for sure. Yeah. And then I think even women can say, well, we had sex. Why aren't you happy? You know, yeah. and I do see that I have a lot of men in my life that I know who get closer to the Lord. And the more they get closer to the Lord, the more they're like, what I was really actually going for was that emotional intimacy. I thought it was the physical act. And I've hurt you by pursuing the physical act and expecting that from you. But I really, it's like what you said. So I think the healthier people get, the more that the physical act is the icing on the cake, the culmination of that.
It should be the dessert.
Yes, it should be the dessert. And the main course, the meat, should be that, you know, spiritual. And I would say even, I think maybe these past 2 years, you can attest to this. I've realized I feel embarrassed to share something from my soul, even if it was like a quiet time with the Lord, something spiritual, where it'd be easier for me to share with somebody else, but to share with you. And I think I've said stuff of like, you know, this was really meaningful to me or powerful, but I started with, I almost didn't want to share. It's kind of embarrassing for me to share because it's so a part of my soul. And you'll say, why would that be embarrassing? And go, I know, that's why I'm realizing that, but I didn't even realize that was a thought of something that I'd want to withhold from you.
Yeah. And there's something there with closeness, right? The more close you are, the more I could hurt you potentially mm-hmm. by either one, not encouraging you in that mm-hmm. or having a different vision than you do on it. And so mm-hmm. I get why it's almost more scary because I'm a person who could affect that. Mm-hmm. So I guess I understand why you would be more, you know, hesitant, but in the same standpoint, like them are the things that in a marriage you really do need to talk about mm-hmm. because you don't want to let fear control you either.
Yeah.
You know, control what I would be willing to do for you.
With that being said, I think intimacy on any level, mind, body, spirit, is a muscle. And sometimes you have to stretch it further than feels comfortable. And so if it's that mind, if it's that soul thing, it's taking that step of, okay, this is hard for me. And maybe even saying, this is hard for me. No pun intended. And and saying that, but then you try it out and you gain that muscle of, okay, I can share this dream with them. And then it grows a little bigger and just really getting strong in all areas of intimacy. It starts with maybe really weak muscles because you've lived your whole life not being able to share anything intimate.
Yes, and anybody. I would say just as a caveat to that, for women or men looking at sharing something important like that, don't try to do it right when he gets home from work or she gets home from work. Don't try to do it when they're starting to fall asleep. Yeah. Make a point to, because if you don't want to be hurt in that and feel like they're not listening, set the stage so that you don't set them up for failure.
Yeah.
And saying like, okay, this is really important to me and I want to share this with you, you know, like make them aware in a time where the kids aren't crazy and, you know,
that's
like, because otherwise you're going to set them up for failure and then you're going to get hurt and then not want to be willing to share again because they hurt you last time you attempted to share.
Mm-hmm.
That's just more of a, I guess, best practice.
I could go two angles with this, but okay. So I'm going to go with this. Something that I wanted to share what men should know about women. Okay. But I want to go back to this intimacy about how many times intimacy.
Oh, boy.
So we're going to go, we got to go back to that. But this has happened now. I've seen it happen with another couple, and it's been with you, where I get it. Women are very confusing and hard to predict. I get it. I'm not saying we're not. Yeah. But then there's times where you'll be like, all you have to do is tell me. And then I do. And I've actually said, like, this is what I would like. And I'm not talking about physical stuff. I am talking about, like, I would like for you to not just plan a date, plan something special. Oh, I would like you to pursue me. You know what I'm laughing at. Remember all the cute things you did when we dated? I want you to still do that. And you literally looked at me and just laughed. And I'm like, well, okay, I'm telling you. I'm very clear what you want.
I'm sure I had some other reason for laughing at the time. I don't remember. But
you still haven't done it. And your brother did this the other day. I go, Megan is telling you what she wants, and he just looked at me and laughed. So it's like, what the heck is going on in your minds when we are actually brutally, simply honest? And it's not like ambiguous. It's very like, you just do this. I want you to plan a day. He's like, haha. Women can't win sometimes. So what is going on there?
That is something that just thrown on my lap here.
Yeah.
I totally caught off guard with this question.
Oh, gosh.
Honestly, I don't remember the particular thing referenced.
Okay.
However, I'm just trying to think of, and I don't want to justify anything.
No, but I want an insight into what's going on.
I don't remember why I laughed. Probably it has to do something, not with what was said. It was with the nonverbal language being communicated.
Because sometimes I'm a little dramatic.
So I'm sure that is why I was laughing.
Yeah. But now, take that
up. Regarding the not doing what you say, I think sometimes, what is the expected timeline? Does this mean tomorrow? Well, I'm booked tomorrow. I'm booked the next day. And I'm just saying, like, from a practical standpoint,
yeah,
it's okay. We can do that in, I would say, a week or a week and a half. And
fun months, boys.
But we've done a lot of other things, and we've had date nights, and we've had things. Maybe I didn't put candy on your car and write you a love letter. But I think there's other ways I've pursued you, and maybe some of it is just trying to alleviate more work for you at times, and you don't.
Yeah.
And sometimes I do them things. It's like, that's not cute, but you know, I'll get home
practical.
And I'll do things for you so that when you get home, you don't have to do anything.
Okay. So, you know what? My takeaway, women, this is my takeaway, is it can be easy to use that chuckle and then lack of action on the part as justification to shut down and prove your point. And I would challenge you to use the muscle and strengthen the muscle to not give up. Take that further and then pursue that further and say, because again, we're laughing at it. And I think we're going to laughing at it because I can say we are both in a really busy season. It's hard to do a lot besides just survive. However, yes, like I can understand that I think I can see that you aren't just spending all of your time doing pursuing something else. You are just trying to, you are doing your best in every area and you don't have a lot to give. And I don't see you giving your best to other inappropriate things. So that's why I think it's not hurtful to me. I don't really can understand how that would be hurtful if you were, and those, that is dynamics of some people. But I would say is pursuing that further, either with your husband, but like when I... But this goes back to then a point that I want to share is that I, one of the pitfalls is I idolized Michael in an unhealthy way. And there was things I was expecting him to fill in my life that only God could fill. And so you get to the point where, say this was an area of tension, and we're laughing about it now, but there's times that stuff like this easily makes me shut down and cry. And if you love me, you do this. But sometimes that can be the sign that if you run into a wall with, like, it's not about, the conversation didn't go anywhere. They don't know why they aren't able to meet your desires in this area. They aren't capable of it right now. That's where you have to have that relationship with the Lord. And without that relationship with the Lord, you're, it's just really going to wreak havoc on that foundation of the marriage. And so I guess I would say that, where I still do desire you to do these dating things like you did when we dated. But I think it can be easy to have an idolization of your spouse that only God can meet. And maybe the frustrations in your marriage are a sign of your of weaknesses in your relationship with the Lord that really need to be worked on first.
Yeah. I think anytime you're dependent on another person to be satisfied,
yeah,
you get massive red flags. Yep. That ultimately, right there, I can tell you that you need to be pursuing God and not the other person, because the person should be the cherry on top.
Mm-hmm.
Just kind of like the sexual part of intimacy.
Mm-hmm.
The foundation is the Lord. He gives the peace. He gives the joy to be okay where you're at, the contentment, which, by the way, is the greatest blessing in the world, is to be content,
mm-hmm.
not needing the next thing. And then when you get the next thing, it makes you be able to delight in it and enjoy it even more.
Yeah.
So,
which brings me to something that I want to say is your security in a relationship with the Lord. Brings me to the other thing that I would like men to know about women, is I hear this a lot from women, that their sex life is not that great because their spouse is so insecure that if they allude to it, you know how many women fake orgasms and pleasure because their spouse cannot handle that it might not have been as great.
They may not be God's gift to women.
The same move isn't working anymore. And, you know, I had one woman say, they're like, gosh, it feels like he's a disc jockey down there, you know, and wicka, wicka, wah. It's quite the picture. But, you know, and I was like, can you tell them? And they're like, no. And it's like, that's really sad. So if anything, I would say is, seriously, you should not take any direction personal, because women don't even know what they like about anything in their life usually. Like, how would you know it without direction and learning and teaching, and like teaching them and then learning, and then things change and sharing that. And so if you're taking anything personal, you've got to put that aside if you want a healthy, more thriving sex life. Yeah. Intimacy life. Intimacy with anything. Of, listen, when I'm sharing to you that this was a dream of mine and you're on your phone, you know, there you go. I'm always on my phone. You know, so it's just like, so taking that feedback and not taking it personal. And I know that can be hard, but really just being humble in these areas.
Yeah, for sure. And honestly, it's, mind-boggling that you think you're always going to get it right.
Yeah.
You know, we all need some help sometimes.
Yeah.
And that's the goal of your partner. So
they are there to help you and they'll let you know. And I would say, like, and it's also okay to not have a, it's, a sexual moment is not going to be 10 out of 10 all the time. No. And that is,
it can and it's like, not for the guy either.
Yeah.
And I think
that's a probably
it's,
a false.
And it's okay, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I think it's okay to be like, that was really good for what it was. That was good. That was okay. And that is okay. And just like, just because we go on a date doesn't mean we're going to have an amazing connection point and great conversation. Sometimes our best conversations are completely like, on a random car drive. And sometimes like, a whole car drive, we don't have one great conversation.
Sometimes there's no one word spoken. Yes. Can imagine when that happens. So
the question everybody is wondering.
Oh, Miguel, I'm sure they are.
How many times a day?
A day.
A month.
Well, given that in fact, I already spilled the beans that sometimes I can go days, if not weeks, without thinking about sex. I wouldn't say weeks, but yeah, I think. Realistically, once a week. And that's about all I have energy to think about. I need more than that, and it might be too much for me. So.
Okay, everybody has a number, and that's okay. And I would say, unless both are every day probably is something's a little out of line. If you like, you really feel like you need it. That's what I would say. Maybe I'm wrong. You can prove me wrong. You can write to me.
I don't know how.
me either. But that's
I feel like I need that Tim, that Al Borland thing, the sign.
To write in.
Write in. That's Tim Taylor. At
yeah, write in Michael if you're like, no, again, you're going to be like, you could be offended by that. And if you're offended by that, then I would say take that to the Lord. And this is why I would say that, because this is what you and I ultimately landed on with this, is because the pie of intimacy, let's just break it down a week.
Correct.
And really, the sexual act is only a slice of the pie. So, I mean, maybe if you're like in a season where every day is really great for you, you guys have the time and space, that's great.
There might be a season for that.
Trust me, I would not mind a season of that. It's not like I don't want that. However, there's just most schedules are, what's the other slice of the pie? Is there time for the goals and the dreams and the hobbies that also allow you to be intimate in other ways? So that's what I would say is really assessing this, your pie in life of intimacy, and then figuring out where it all can fit in, but making room for everything. And and for some couples, it might not be once a week because of schedules, travels, whatever. I mean, people's jobs, deployments, you know, there's different stuff, but you can get creative on deployments. But you would have to.
Don't write in for that one.
But I would say that, which goes back to, we're not going to get into details about things, but I, you know, sometimes people ask specific questions of like, what do you, would you do this? Would you do that? How do you, are you guys comfortable with this? And I don't, you know, write in the blank of what are you wondering about? And bottom line is, I think everything is permissible, but not everything is good. And that really is going to depend on your history, your past, where you're currently at. Something, trauma in this area can really affect something that's very triggering for you, and what might be okay with one for one couple is not appropriate for another.
Yeah, and I think even I would say there's even a caveat to everything is permissible in that.
Agreed,
but
agreed,
you know,
agreed. Yes.
I don't feel
we're
like
we're not talking about.
Yeah, I think there's definitely a line to everything's permissible.
Yeah.
That being said, I will leave it at that. So.
Yes, agreed. But with that being said, I think that actually brings a good segue to pornography. We did not talk about that. We would talk about this, but I think we have to give credence to the some people are listening to this and their spouse is struggling with pornography, whether physically or emotionally, going to other outlets for things. Mm-hmm. Or they've allowed pornography into their marriage. We're not going to go into it. There's the studies show pornography does not actually really help intimacy.
Well, let's just take a little step back here. Do you think that Jesus would say, just watch your neighbor have sex and it's okay? I mean, come on, guys. Use your head. It's just absolutely mind-boggling if somebody tries to justify that.
Yes.
So, you know, sometimes they just need that WWJD bracelet. Snap their wrist. But anyway, it's, you know, use a little common sense and practicality. Mm-hmm. Is that the right thing to do?
Mm-hmm.
And look, you know, remember, God knows your heart.
Yeah, you know, for sure.
And that's how, if you ever want to resolve a conflict, this is what I say. It's totally a little off topic, but I say, the Lord judge between you and me.
Yeah.
If I'm in the wrong, let the Lord convict me and change me. But mm-hmm. if you're wrong, you deal with it.
Yeah,
you know,
that's between you and the Lord. Mm-hmm. For sure. And so I would say that I think we can really have a healthy sex life because you slayed the captivity of porn mm-hmm. in your life. I dealt with the issues of why I was going for emotional intimacy, you know, with other things and such. So I would say we are able to be free because we have really given up things that have kept us captive. And so if you struggle, it just might be signs of that you are struggling with other areas of your life. I mean, for women, it could be with food and food addictions, and then it comes into body image. And so that affects your sex life. Like it's all mumble jumbled, but really becoming free, the more free you are, the more you can love your spouse physically, emotionally, spiritually. Mm-hmm. The only other thing we did not talk about was stress levels, because stress.
Yeah, I think we touched on it and referenced specifically to the first 2 years of our marriage where I was under a lot of stress.
Yeah.
But I'll speak on men. You can speak on women. But mm-hmm. when I am stressed, I am totally disengaged to sex. And if I have things, you know, the things stressing me at work or all that stuff, is like the last thing I'm thinking about mm-hmm. is sex or even intimacy in general.
Pursuing me, yes.
I don't have that energy. And, you know, God can strengthen me to redeem me, help me overcome mm-hmm. it. But it is something where when I'm stressed, if I have a high level of stress, you know, because I'm disconnected.
Mm-hmm.
And
I might not even know it
because I'm in my head. Mm-hmm. Like I'm trying to process that stress. I'm mm-hmm. trying to deal with it. And then, you know, it kind of goes to something we say sometimes about some of the people we know in our lives. When they are free, man, are they a blast to be around. Mm-hmm. But 98% of the time they're walking around in that stress in what's holding them down and they're not fun.
Mm-hmm.
They can be horrible to be around.
Mm-hmm.
But there's that 2% where you see what they would be like if they could mm-hmm. get free of that stress. And mm-hmm. I feel like when I'm in, I wouldn't say I'm the 98 to 2, but when I'm in that percentage of my stress zone, I know I'm not as much fun to be around. Mm-hmm. I'm withdrawn. I'm distant. And obviously that's the time to really pray for your spouse, see how you can come alongside and help them. Mm-hmm. But that being said, I just wanted to, I know we had that on the list of things to talk about, because I just think the expectations around specifically sexual intimacy, but all intimacy, need to be adjusted based on what your spouse is going through mm-hmm. and their stress levels, whether that be you have a lot of kids at home and your wife mm-hmm. is at her wit's end. Don't be expecting to have this intimacy every mm-hmm. night. I mean, if you are, you're yeah. Very,
you're going to be disappointed. Yeah. Yeah. And that's where I think you do. That's why you said you pursue me by doing the dishes.
Them are the times that the pursuit involves cleaning the house because my wife is going to lose it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. One day you took the kids to your brother's.
I remember. That was recently.
Yesterday.
Don't think we're perfect people.
No,
this
no.
is just,
not
this
at,
is,
oh my gosh.
This is almost live.
So, and then I think for me, practically, it is, you know, letting you have a study night. And that might mean I have to adjust and take the kids out of the house and that sort of thing. And sometimes it's just by asking you the question, I see you're off and you're like, oh, I don't even. Yeah, I am. I have a feeling. I didn't know I had a feeling, not feelings. So definitely that. But then my background with nutrition is that I, physical thing. Like I take an adrenal cortisol thyroid support supplement right now because I am under a lot of stress every day. It's just, I tell you, I'm like, it just feels like my adrenals all the time. When's the ball going to drop? Oh my gosh. You know, that's when's a kid going to cry? When am I going to get this done? You know, that wreaks havoc on your sex hormones. Your adrenal and cortisol hormones will override any of that. Let's get it on hormones. So and then there's also too much coffee, too much sugar, inflammatory foods, like your diet, and that really can affect things as my husband takes his sugary coffee off. So there's definitely,
maybe that's my problem.
That is. So I would say is if you've got issues, really, what is the root problem and what are the roots in picking out those weeds and addressing some things so that you can figure out what you need to support you in that. And yeah, that's what I would say. So there's definitely things that you can look into if adrenals are
the shocked. Issue.
Yeah. Like Michael said, first order yourself a test kit.
Oh, yeah. I totally dropped the ball on that one.
What do you do first?
Yeah, what do you do when your wife is having trouble? First, make her take a test as soon as she gets home, and then you'll know how to treat her.
But yeah, the one thing that I did think is important to cover was this idea that I can know I want to be intimate with you, and I still don't have the feelings there. And sometimes I think we have this idea that you have to have these feelings there in order to engage versus it just can be a step of faith into, I know this is something that is important for us. I'm not feeling it. Just like any discipline in your life, like working out. I don't feel like going to the gym, but I know I get my shoes on. I get my water bottle. I get in the car. I'm still not feeling it, but I get in the gym. You know what? I'm just going to start the treadmill. And all of a sudden, 3 minutes into the treadmill, I'm like, okay. And then I could have the best workout of my life. And if I would have not had those faith feelings and discipline to get there, I could have missed out on that. And I think some of our most intimate moments came from when I was not feeling it and but being willing to step into it. And then other times it really is like, no, that was a very mediocre workout. At the gym, and you know, and that's okay, but it was healthy for us and bringing us together. And so would you agree? It's probably men as well.
Yeah, I think in men it's probably a little different.
I agree,
because it doesn't normally take much to get a man aroused. So like I said, it all takes sometimes is you decide to change your shirts. And it's like, oh, what's this? Obviously, but it could be depending on my attitude at the time. Yeah. You know, there's a lot that goes into it. But
For sure. But yes, men are a little more simpler, and women tend to be a little more complicated. And women are a little more emotional based. So a lot of times if the emotions aren't there, they don't feel like they can do it. But this is me encouraging anybody who's a little more emotional than sometimes practical and realistic is to sometimes it is self-discipline, and it's okay. And it's okay for the other person to know that. Sometimes I'll be like, I'm not really in the mood, but
I can be.
I can be. Are we? I don't know, you know? So Yeah. Anyways, I think this was a really good combo. Love life and libido.
It was very nice, honey.
Yes. All right. Well, with that being said, do you want to sign out?
Thank you for listening to Rise and Climb.
Yes. Please leave a review. 5-star review. Only
because it gets us noticed more on the other podcasting platforms. I just hear all the other podcasts I listen to say that. So I thought I would add the same thing.
I know. We're going to have to add an ad in here for the horny goat weed. I'll add that the sponsorship will be some supplements for you.
That apparently helped.
Yes.
So. Thank you for listening. You. If you enjoyed this episode, please give Rise and Climb a 5-star review or share it with someone you think who would equally enjoy it. If you also feel so led, you can support this podcast with either a one-time donation or monthly subscription to help pay for sound and editing equipment that helps produce more kingdom-driven and relevant-to-the-times content. God bless.